Let's open with hymn number 472. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgavest me iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserved thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Then shall ye call upon me and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and I will turn your captivity and gather you from all nations and from all places. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land.
thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou hast hitherto granted us peace and graciously spared us from war and foreign dominion. We pray thee graciously let us continue to live in thy fear according to thy will, giving no cause for wars or other punishments. Govern and direct our magistrates that they may not hinder the obedience due to thee, but maintain righteousness that we may enjoy happiness and blessing under their government, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this last Sunday of the church year is found in the 35th chapter of Isaiah, the 3rd through the 10th verse. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty lands springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, the 1st through the 11th verse. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Here ends the epistle lesson. The king's daughter shall be brought unto the king. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Hallelujah. Gospel is found in the 25th chapter of Matthew, the 1st through the 13th verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried,
And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn 609. 609.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lesson is found in the 7th chapter of Revelation, verses 9 through 17. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood round about the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more, nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in Christ Jesus, before us, the end, we have before us the end and the beginning. It is the end of one year and the beginning of another. And in our lessons today, it is the end of the world and the beginning of eternal life. The thought of the end of the world makes men afraid. The movies picture the end in a disastrous way, always. Comets striking the earth or great storms of meteors. An ice age or nuclear Armageddon. The end always means death and judgment. And do not misunderstand, because the children of the world are not wrong in considering the end a dreadful day of death and judgment. Although these thoughts of disaster miss their mark. They are right to be afraid, because they will indeed be judged. It will not be with a storm or an earthquake or even a nuclear bomb. They will be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ. In the gospel lesson, Jesus describes a horrible state of affairs for five of the virgins who awaited his coming. When five of them returned, they found the door shut, and the bridegroom would not open. He said the most dreadful thing to them, I do not know you. And because he did not know them, they had no place in the halls of the wedding feast. Jesus is very clear in his description of the end. He describes the end of the world many times in the Gospels with these words. He calls it outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so people are not wrong at all to fear the end. It is a wise fear. But if it only remains a fear, it is also a wasted fear. Too many turn from their fear, and they find what joy and delight that they can in life. They do not know what will meet them in death, but they know that it is not good. And therefore they eat and drink and are merry today. For who knows when death will come, and there will be no joy again. But in our lesson, we see a picture of the end that is utterly different from the fears that haunt men. There is nothing dark or dreadful in this scripture. Everything is bright and glorious. So glorious indeed is this vision that we cannot so much as understand what it is, but rather what it is not. And so our lesson defines it by all the things that are no more. It is the end of this world as we know it, but it is also the end of sin. It is the end of death. It is the end of tribulation, of suffering, of temptation. It is the end of even every discomfort and pain, every weakness. It is the end of sorrow and tears. Why is this end so different than the one that the children of men fear? Because here, in the midst of the multitudes who stretch out before the throne of God, is the one whom the world rejects. Here is the Lamb who brought salvation to men. Where the Lamb of God is, there can be no death. He has conquered death. He has banished sin and all that comes from sin by his own blood. At the beginning of the New Testament, we hear these words, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And before our eyes at the end, we see that Lamb. The leaders of the Jews despised the preaching of John the Baptist when he told them of this great sacrifice that would bring the kingdom of God to men. When he preached repentance and the forgiveness of sins. But now the fruit of that redemption is before our eyes, and no one speaks against it. And so as you hear this wondrous vision, behold the Lamb of God. All that you see here and all the joy of that place, all the gratitude and glory of heaven are centered upon the Lamb who has taken away your sins. The vision before us opens to a great multitude which no one can number, stretched out before the throne of God. Remember what God said to Abraham when he called him out of the land of Ur and he brought him to the promised land. He said that in him all the nations of the earth would be blessed and his descendants would be countless like the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. And here in heaven we see that multitude which no man can count. And they come from every nation, tribe, people, and language. And they are not many separate voices. There are no divisions among them. They are one united multitude. They sing with one voice. With united heart and mind, they give glory to the Lamb who is their salvation. How different it is today. The world is full of divisions. The visible church even is divided, fractured by false doctrine and sin. Before Jesus died, he prayed that we would all be one, even as he and the Father are one. But that seems to us like nothing but a fantasy, a dream that we will never know. The apostles had hardly died before divisions appeared in the church, and even before their death, the church experienced the words of Paul fulfilled when from their own midst false teachers arose seeking to draw men after themselves. And it is no different among us today. Even where brother and sister are united in the word and sacraments of Christ, sin and pride still infect the church. When we confess in the creed that we believe in one holy Christian church, we confess this because we can only confess that that unity exists, because by sight, the church does not seem to be one at all. Therefore, cherish this vision where the reality of Christ's kingdom is revealed. When this world and all of its strife has ended, all that divides us will also be at an end. There will be no false doctrine in heaven. There will be no prideful sin. There will be no false brethren. In heaven we shall all be one. There are no old and young. Race and caste and nationality or culture cannot separate us. And do not think that what you see here in Revelation is only a future possibility. Because this is simply the reality that our eyes cannot yet see. It is already true for you and for every Christian. For despite what your eyes see, the church of Christ is never divided. It is one as God is one and as Christ Jesus is one. You are part of a vast and grand family stretching out over the whole earth and back and forward in time. You do not know them all now, but you shall know them in the end, in eternity. The multitude are united not only in voice, but also in their apparel. All of them are clothed in white robes, and they have palm branches in their hands. With one voice they cry, "Salvation to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." Just as the people praised Jesus when he entered into Jerusalem, saying, "Save us, O Lord, we beseech thee," so also now they continue the cry with palm branches in their hand. And this is their common confession of faith, that all of their glory, all of the joy of eternal life comes to them by the work of God and of the Lamb. Salvation belongs to God, for by the Lamb he has made us clean. See how it is the same confession which we make today. Even in heaven, the heart of our faith is not a set of rules and laws, but the glorious gospel, where God himself saves us, not with any help from us, but entirely by his own might and power. In heaven, the greatest praise that men still give is to attribute all that they have, all their life and joy, to the salvation which God has accomplished for them in his Son, Jesus Christ. The very gospel which we are glad to hear will no longer be proclaimed in heaven to forgive sin, but it will nevertheless be on our lips forever, for we shall be an eternal living testimony to the glory of our God. For we are the people who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. All of heaven is unanimous in this declaration. The 24 elders, whom are representatives of the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles, join together with the angels, confirming the cry with a grand Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might to our God forever and ever. Amen. Now a remarkable thing happens. One of these elders approaches John, and he asks him a question. Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? Even in this vision of heaven, God uses the prophetic voice of his ministers to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. John defers to the elder, and he lets him explain. These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb of God is no ordinary blood. It cleanses you from all sin. It does not dye you red or crimson with guilt. It makes you pure and white. Isaiah prophesied, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." The multitude which stands before the throne are those who came out of the great tribulation. And do not think of the great tribulation as of some future event that is yet to come. Scripture never presents it so. You are a part of that number. Remember how Jesus said that you must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. The great tribulation is great because it encompasses all the blood that was ever shed of the martyrs. Every persecution, not only in the New Testament, but also in the Old of God's people. It encompasses all the terrors which our Christian brethren endure today in foreign lands. And though we have been blessed in our land and have not been nearly so persecuted, whatever tribulation you bear is part of that great tribulation which the whole church comes to endure throughout this present age until Christ brings it to an end. For some of you, your tribulations seem great indeed. At times, it seems overwhelming. You cannot see a glorious heavenly throne, and you do not hear choirs of angels. You look at yourself and you do not see a white robe. You see your sin and its consequences, and your life is full of tears. The Lamb of God seems to be far away. If you judged all things by your senses and by your emotions, you would have no reason to hope for an end in any way different than the children of men. That after the many miseries of this life is the far greater misery of death and hell. The multitude that stands before the throne endure this tribulation with you, and they endured it by washing their robes in the blood of the Lamb. This washing did not take place in heaven. It took place here on earth when they were in the midst of their tribulation. Their robes are not made white because they are now standing before the throne. They are white because the blood of Jesus Christ already cleansed them from all sin. It is because their robes are already washed in the blood of the Lamb that everything else follows. The text says, therefore, because of this, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. And here is your hope in the many tribulations which you now must bear before you enter the kingdom of heaven. Before you today is the blood of Jesus Christ, a blood which had to be shed in order for you to be set free from sin. His blood paid your blood debt, the debt that you owed to God. This blood comes to you today and it makes you a member of his kingdom. Your robes do not have to wait for heaven to be cleansed. He cleanses you today. I know that you do not feel it. When you eat his flesh and drink his blood, you cannot feel the forgiveness of sins. Only your faith tells you that this is the body and blood which cleansed you from all sin. But here you have a vision of the end. And you get to see the fruit of the blood of Christ which cleanses you today. Here you have a glimpse of the glory that is already yours because of that blood. And here is a promise that you should always hold dear. Listen to that fruit of righteousness which is yours. He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more, nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This glorious hope is yours. No one can take it away from you. Therefore, let this be your comfort as you await the day when all of your toil and tribulation will end, and Jesus, the Lamb of God, will receive you into his eternal kingdom. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Restore unto
Let us pray. O God, who hast saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to thine own purpose and grace, given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We thank thee for the abundance of thy mercies, but especially for the gift of thy Son, in whom through his sufferings and cross thou hast abolished death, and through his resurrection brought life and immortality to light. Grant that by thy grace we may ever continue in the things we have learned through thy word, and of which we have been assured by thy Holy Spirit, so that being wise unto salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus, we may receive on the day of his coming the crown of righteousness which he has laid up for us and for all who love his appearing. To this end, save us from following after perversions and denials of his truth, and from giving heed to lies, deceptions, and vain philosophies. And as he shall come to judge all the living and the dead, help us to endure in meekness for thy name's sake such pain and adversity as we are called upon to bear, to behold the signs of the times, and to look for the new heavens and earth which the redeemed of the Lord shall inherit in everlasting joy and gladness. Give strength to thy church that with fervent spirit it may fight the good fight of faith. Give thy blessing to the church's institutions of mercy, and grant thine aid to all who labor therein. Bestow heavenly grace upon our parents that they may teach their children the way of Christ Jesus, and keep the young ever faithful in word and deed. Govern the nations upon earth, and plead thine own cause amongst the multitudes, that they may be turned from sin to righteousness. Look upon our land in mercy, and make us repentant for our wickedness, immorality, and materialism. Subdue all evil in our midst, and let thy word flourish so that truth and holiness may prevail. Hear the cry of the afflicted, and give them thy compassionate aid. Make straight paths for them, strengthening the weak, upholding the feeble, and healing the sick. Enlighten them so that they despise not their chastenings, but receiving them in trust and confidence, bring forth the healthful fruits of righteousness and joy. Preserve us all in steadfast faith, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his coming will manifest himself as the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. We sing hymn 647. Must be 3. Thank you. 347.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee, and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. We sing hymn 613.
Thank you.
Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.